in the past month or so on our biblical journey of our Christian faith through Advent and Christmastide and Epiphany, much has been revealed to us. We have all seen a great light, angels we have heard on high all the way in a manger, the joy to the world, the silent night, the broke a new dawn. A Savior was born and then was sought and worshiped by kings. The Messiah was revealed to us as a human child born for the salvation of all people. On our journey of revelation, babes leapt in wombs, angels appeared to peasants, shepherds proclaimed a new truth, and the light of a star led the world to a new place. And the holy name of this child was also revealed, Jesus, he who saves, he who loves, he who forgives, he who was around before the world as the Word, he around whom the stars and planets and moons are arranged, he by whom lives are changed, journeys reordered, and hearts opened. And today in our Gospel of Luke, God reveals still more of his loving self in the baptism of Jesus. Our Lord is not a baby in a manger anymore, but a 30-year-old man. And he comes to the river to be baptized by John with many other followers. As he comes up out of the water and he's praying to the Father, the Holy Spirit descends from the open heavens in the form of a dove, and the voice of God declares, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Who was this revealed to? Who saw and heard this miraculous event? Well, the Gospels themselves give different answers. Matthew and Mark indicate that Jesus alone himself was privy to this vision of the dove and the voice of God. But Luke, the gospel that we heard today, implies that all that were present there at the river saw and heard it. Luke's ongoing theme, of course, is that the incarnation, the Savior, the Messiah, is for all people, not just for the chosen ones. Access to the divine light and salvation is possible for anyone who seeks it. And this miracle today that we clearly see is intended to signify that all who witness it witness God's approval of Jesus, God's blessing upon him, God's sanctifying of Jesus and his ministry. In a sense, the baptism of Jesus was his ordination, the beginning of his ministry, called by God to preach and to teach and to heal. Jesus pursues this calling by announcing the kingdom of God is near at hand, that love is more important than honor and riches and power. The pursuit of his calling eventually brings him in conflict with religious leaders who plot to destroy him, and this priesthood leads him to death on a cross, but also glorious resurrection and victory over death. And all of it had its beginning today at his baptism. So what does Jesus's baptism and baptism in general reveal to us today? For thousands of years, baptism has symbolized new life in Christ that comes to all who believe and follow Jesus. In baptism, we pledge to learn more about who Jesus was and is, and his way of courage and compassion, and promise to model our own lives after his. We know that sometimes we fail in this promise and we need God's forgiveness and grace. We don't practice this sacrament of baptism in isolation. We celebrate it in community. And this community is here to help us when we falter, to surround us when we need help, to lift us up to our potential selves in new life in Christ. It's an initiation rite into a church, the body of Christ. That's why When we baptize people, we're all present. The church is like a family of sisters and brothers bound to each other in Jesus Christ, not just a collection of individuals who have similar viewpoints on God. Paul the Apostle said it this way. He said, "For indeed we are all brought into one body by baptism in the one Spirit, whether we are Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and that one Holy Spirit was poured out for all of us to drink." A writer named Mary Beth Danielson says, "Baptism is not a sacrament administered in a closet. It's not a private holy ceremony passed down from the pious to the pure in heart. It's about belonging to a church. It's about the strengths and failures of the ordinary and extraordinary people who make up that church. It is about being rooted and joined to real people in imperfect but very real ways." I would go on to say that just as in his baptism, Jesus was commissioned by God for his ministry, so in our baptisms, we are commissioned for our ministry. Baptism is not joining our community just to sit still and do nothing, but to serve others. Through baptism, we are all called to minister to our neighbors in the world. In the remote hills of Middle Tennessee, where I used to live, I saw a church sign I would pass often, and it always had something very funny to say on its sign out front. But one day, they changed the sign completely, and it was the Cumberland Church was the name of the church. And underneath it, in permanent letters, said, "Cumberland Church, Pastor Jonathan Murphy, ministers, every member." What a great way to highlight what we profess but sometimes forget to practice, that we are the priesthood of all believers. That is, in baptism, we are ordained to the priesthood. Ministry isn't just something that paid seminary student graduates do. It's something that we all do. We're called to represent Jesus Christ in the world by our lives. We reveal to the world the love and goodness of God. So in this season after Epiphany, there's still so much for us to discover about God, about ourselves. This journey that we have been on is not just happening to us. Because in Jesus' baptism, in our baptisms, in our ministry, we are with Christ. We are walking beside our Lord. We are no longer spectators, but full participants in the body of Christ, the work of the Spirit, the kingdom of God. God reveals to us the divine gift of Jesus, our Savior, and we live this gift. It's an action verb. We do not keep it to ourselves. We shine like stars in the heavens with the light of God because Christ is in us and around us and beside us. We are agents for lives changing, journeys beginning, and hearts opening. Amen.